Inflection point of faith. Mark chapter 8 verse 23 to 38. Anybody in here good at mathematics? My mom was a math teacher in high school, so when I was a high school student, I decided not to be good at math because I think one great math person per family is enough. Numbers are not my thing. But anyway, in mathematics, there is a concept called inflection point. How many of you are familiar with this concept, inflection point? An inflection point is a point on a curve at which the sign of the curvature changes. Inflection points may be stationary points, but are not local maxima or local minima. Don't worry, I will not go further. As I said, I am not a math person. Simply put, start from the inflection point. The graph is changed from concave to convex or convex to concave. In other words, from this inflection point, the graph is changed from decreasing to increasing or from increasing to decreasing. And we see this inflection point not only in mathematics, but also in our life. Looking back our life, there is an inflection point. Think about how many times you have experienced dramatic change, reversal in your life. I already have several times in my life, so I think many of you who have much longer life experience than me might have many inflection points in your life. In today's gospel passage, while Jesus and his disciples were on the way to the village of Caesarea Philippi, Jesus asked his disciples a very interesting question. Who do people say that I am? And they answered him, John the Baptist and others, Elijah and still others, one of the prophets. Then Jesus asked them again, but who do you say that I am? Peter asked him, you are the Messiah. Do you know where Caesarea Philippi was? It was an ancient Roman city located at the southwestern base of mountain Hermon. It was very close to a spring, grotto, and related shrines dedicated to the Greek god Pan. At that time, many people worshipped an idol, so in this place of idol worship, Jesus asked this question to his disciples on purpose. Thankfully, the disciples were different from the people. Peter gave a different answer from the people. Jesus, you are the Messiah. Perhaps this is the reason Jesus asked them again. Then let me ask you a question. Who do you say that Jesus is? Who is Jesus? We may think of various answers because we call him in various names, such as teacher, comforter, healer, listener, friend, shepherd, leader, guider, protector, savior, and etc. But among these various names of Jesus, which one is only for Jesus? Which one can never be replaced by someone else? It is definitely Savior. We can name Savior only to Jesus. There is no Savior except Jesus to us. I think Jesus wanted to hear this confession of faith from his disciples. He might not even have been interested in what the others called him. John the Baptist, Elijah, one of the prophets. These are not what he wants to be called. Jesus just wants to hear how you and me call him as the one for whom there is no substitute, the Messiah, Christ the Savior. This morning he asks each one of us that in front of many other gods and idols in our lives, money, honor, power, pride, household, business, who do you say that I am? Are you ready to confidently say what Peter did? You are the Messiah? However, even Peter, when Jesus foretold about his death and resurrection, took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. because he misunderstood what it meant. Peter thought that if Jesus died on the cross, it meant that Jesus would not protect them and he would not grant their hopes and desires anymore. Peter just regarded Jesus as like one of the gods in Caesarea Philippi, one of the idols. That is why Jesus rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." We might have the same mindset as Peter. Although we confess Jesus as the Messiah, Christ the Savior, with our lips, oftentimes we just want him to do as we planned rather than following him as he leads us. We might believe Jesus not because we trust him as our Savior, but because we want something from him. We want to be happy. We want our family to be healthy. We want to make more money. We want to have more power. We want to get a higher position. And we want Jesus to make all this possible, which might be the reason why we have faith in him. We should remember what Jesus said in verse 35 to 37. I will read in the version of the Message Bible. "Anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You are not in the driver's seat, I am. Don't run from suffering, embrace it. Follow me and I will show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way to saving yourself, your true self. What good would it do to get everything you want and lose you, the real you? What could you ever trade your soul for?" At this time, I'd like to share one short video clip with you. Let us watch it. Like this video showed us, many times in our lives, we have been in a power struggle with God over control. Although we confessed that we would follow God's will, although we decided to follow Jesus, although we decided to give our driver's seat to Jesus, when our reality conflicts with our faith, we just try to take control of it by ourselves. So we easily jump right back in the driver's seat. Last Sunday, we shared how important it is to put our faith into an action. Likewise, although you confessed Jesus as the Messiah, Christ the Savior, if your actual life does not reflect this confession of faith, it means nothing. If you decided to follow Jesus, you should actually follow him through your life. You need to make sure to let him lead you. Trust and follow him. Don't try to jump back into your driver's seat. Let him drive for you. This will be the great inflection point of your faith. From this point, your faith leads you where Jesus leads you. As you really live out your confession of faith that Jesus is the Messiah, Christ the Savior, he will make an amazing reversal in your life. Live out your faith and let us expect how our Savior leads us. Praise God. Amen.